Hello and welcome to Columbo is the podcast all about the matte painted cutaway holographic world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and by sheer coincidence joining me this episode, as in all of the previous 46 episodes, is Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, what a coincidence!
I know, it's crazy.
So weird.
This week we're taking a look at Season 8, Episode 2, Murder, Smoke, and Shadows. This episode stars Fisher Stevens as a young hotshot Hollywood director who murders his friend to cover up his past. Fisher also appeared as five separate characters on the original Law & Order, SVU, and Criminal Intent. Appearing as the victim is Jeff Perry, who appeared in an episode of Law & Order Trial by Jury. Also guest starring this episode as a studio exec is Stephen Hill, who portrayed District Attorney Adam Schiff from 1990 to 2000 on the original Law & Order.
Wow.
Al Pugliese, featured in this episode as the actor that Stephen uses to manipulate Columbo, had a minor recurring role on Law & Order LA as a detective. This episode also stars Molly Hagan as the actor love interest of the murderous director. Hagan appeared as Joan Vandermolen, the real-life sister to the murdered mother of the Menendez brothers on Law & Order True Crime, a true crime series. And that is the last time I will do that. But it is safe to say that at this point, as we are now into more contemporary actors, everyone that has appeared on a Columbo will appear on a Law & Order at some point going forward. So.
I was going to say, is it just this one being so Law & Order heavy? But I guess
no,
it makes
it's kind
sense
of all
that,
of them. That's, I mean, the thing is that it's just
crime
everywhere.
Crossovers. Yeah.
If you're an actor in LA or New York, you have been in a Law & Order.
Yes. I know
people who have appeared in several Law & Orders, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's definitely true. That seems to be the case. I mean, also, there have been how many seasons? Like, all of them? All the seasons that ever existed on television are all Law & Order.
They've
now.
All been that's Law & Order.
Yeah. It's been Law & Order this whole time, everybody.
This episode is a doozy. I think it's fair to say that this episode is the most up its own ass of any episode of Columbo that we have watched yet. This is by far that.
The short version, you already kind of said it, but it's shot on, like, ostensibly on the Universal Studios lot.
Right. The opening
Hollywood.
Scene is the Universal Studios tour, which used to be
Jaws.
Yes, used to actually be sort of part of Universal Studios. This is pre Universal Studios, the
Universal
theme
Studios.
Park.
Right.
So this was like previous to Universal Studios being a theme park, there was an actual Universal Studios tour that had this like tram ride that goes around, and it goes through this fake Jaws town, and there was a King Kong segment, which they didn't show, unfortunately. It's my favorite part.
Yeah. Was he on the ride long enough for the King Kong part? I guess so.
It's hard to say. It probably was just too difficult to film in any sort of meaningful way.
Too difficult to film, but I mean, didn't you see how many glorious scenes in low lighting they shot?
Oh, boy. This episode of Columbo that would like to, make you think about what even is a television show, man?
Hey, did you get it? It's an episode of Columbo, ostensibly a series of made-for-TV movies, and we're talking about movie making in it. Get it? It's all meta, man.
Yeah, it's like half meta. It's like
no,
I'm going to play a little bit of the picket fence scene. I'm going to just jump right into it.
Fuck,
just
do it.
Just because,
do it.
Like,
just
it's so
there.
Weird, I just feel like we should get there right away.
Clouds of atomic particles fly through empty space pretending to be a fence, and you call that reality?
As real as you are, Mr. Brady.
Right. Now you understand. I'm the substance. And you're the shadow. I created you, and I can destroy you. I could vanish you with a word.
What word is that, sir?
Kill!
As in, kill the lights.
Yeah, get it? I mean, this is just Fisher. This is Yeah.
This is sort of
just a young Mr. the Plague.
This is a real, like, this is not a pipe of a, like, there's a couple things where it, like, this thing is, like, actively trying to remind you that it is a filmed thing and not real. It's very strange.
Yeah.
That part of it is kind of interesting. It's just not very developed.
No, I mean, it's just, so, like, I mean, Fisher Stevens plays Alex Brady.
I should have pulled the information.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I mean, you can, but it's Alex Brady. And he's ostensibly this young, like, hotshot director slash special effects auteur,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, he's meant to be kind of like a James Cameron or one of these young film school directors that in the 80s, that was like the big thing was old directors were being pushed out and these young guys were coming in.
And these young guys, some kind of Spielberg, I don't know.
Yeah, but Spielberg, like, James Camperton.
Yeah, Camperton, Giorgio Moroder, Lucas, I don't know. Anyway, it's like he's so up his own ass.
Yeah.
Like he's so full of himself. It really, I mean, it's marvelous because he just went all fucking in.
Oh yeah.
As far as his performance goes. But it is totally like, I mean, it takes no time once you've met him to be like, oh, I hate you. You're horrible.
You suck. This guy sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you are a terrible monster of a human being. And like, yeah, he's really amazingly awful. And it just like, I mean, that's most of the episode. It's
yeah.
like he's so terrible. You're like, yeah, I want you to take this asshole down a peg.
The basic plot reason that he kills his friend is that Beck, he's a director. He's an established director at Universal. The studio is not named, but it's Universal.
It's clearly Universal. Yeah.
He's an established director, and his friend from back in his film school days comes and visits him, and says, "Remember when my sister died? Well, you said that she died driving a bike to come to set to film something. But
yeah.
I found tape that the other camera guy who was filming that day gave me this piece of tape that he had right before he died." And
yeah,
the piece of tape
died of hepatitis.
Hepatitis.
Right.
And the piece of tape clearly shows Fisher Stevens being there when the sister had this bike accident.
And she fell off and like rolled down a hill. It really, honestly, like when you see the footage, you're like, that looks fine.
It's a very clear, like, a stunt woman who is absolutely fine.
And it's just, he goes down and somewhere along in that role, she hit her head on a rock.
Right.
You know?
And so she died in the ambulance because they couldn't get her to the hospital fast enough. And this guy blames Fisher Stevens' character for her not getting treatment fast enough because he was scared. He didn't want to lose his position with... I think it's the guy, guy.
I wrote his name down, but it's buried in a bunch of other exclamation marks.
Mr. Yeah. Morosco.
That's it, Morosco.
Yeah, this is kind of a very aside thing, but do you think it's kind of weird that the name of the DA that was played by Stephen Hill was Adam Schiff? Like, that's weird,
yes.
Right?
Like, yeah. I mean, Schiff, so I agree. It's very weird,
it
makes me wonder, like, was Schiff, like, because he was a prosecutor?
Yeah,
he was
maybe
like
it's
a
like,
federal prosecutor before.
Maybe it's, like, based on him. Like, before. They took the name from him. It's very strange. But anyway,
I
didn't
it's
look
real
into
weird.
It.
Yeah.
I was just, like, typing out the intro, and I was like, Adam Schiff? That's
Schiff?
Just,
what
okay,
the fuck?
All right.
Yeah. Nope, that's very weird.
And he had this position with this guy, and he didn't want to mess it up. He was going to become this new auteur filmmaker, and so he covered up the death and acted as though it was just an accident and not an accident in filming.
Right. And yeah, which meant, you know, if it were an accident in filming, then in theory he would be liable and that would be really bad for his career, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, and so, I mean, and it's, yeah, it's like a whole thing because like Lenny, his friend from growing up who, you know, used to do film stuff with him, who comes to see him, talks about how the guy gave him a 16 millimeter reel. And it's like, remember how you used to shoot everything on 16 millimeter? Well, don't worry. I had someone blow it up into 35 millimeter so you could take a look at it now. I mean, it's like right out of the gate, it's like, okay, so there's another film incriminating him.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of, you know, they're really just feeding it to you as much as they possibly can.
Let's hear a little bit of that scene, because I actually think the guy who plays Lenny does a really good job in this scene. I think he actually does a really good job of seeming like a guy at the end of his rope who's just ready to destroy Fisher Stevens.
No, he was great.
I couldn't tell anyone, not until I could face you.
Lenny.
And I'm glad that you're such a terrific success. But hey, I'm glad you got everything you got. Because I'm going to turn it all into garbage. You bastard, Alex. I ran that picture in every scandal sheet, in every newspaper. I'll see that film on every TV news show until you choke on it, too.
It isn't true, Lenny.
No, and the cops and the prosecutors. Okay? Until you climb into your grave like it's some of one of your new fancy sports cars, Alex. That's what I came here to tell you.
Len, it isn't real.
Yeah, so then it's like the only good scene in the entire thing.
That's not entirely true,
it's definitely one of the highlights.
It's a fucked up episode, I agree. But yeah, it's like immediately Fisher Stevens just starts gaslighting him.
Yeah, he tries
to
convince
him. It's all special effects.
That he's like matted in there and it's not real. Says that he's going to go out and get a bunch of, he's going to get some friends of his who know about visual effects and they're going to like break it down and show him. And then he leaves and leaves the guy in his bungalow. He has this like office, which is just essentially like a toy room.
Yeah, it's a playground. He's got like a model train set. He's got a fucking like soda fountain set up. He's got a Joust arcade game in there.
He starts by making his friend a chocolate soda because they're from the 20s, I guess. I guess they're like, hey,
I don't know.
Have an egg cream? You know, that's I don't know what's going on.
How about a phosphate, my young man? Yeah, it's so fucking I don't know. I don't know what that's about other than just to show off the fact that he has this little playground. And, like, I do want to point out, like, Lenny, my dude, what the fuck were you thinking just sitting there for, like, 5 hours?
Yeah, he's
like,
gone a
when
long
he leaves,
time.
Yeah, like, is there a phone in there? Like, can't you? I mean, I get it. You want to fucking, but, like, also, you shouldn't believe him.
Yeah.
You saw the footage. Like, the dude on his deathbed was like, hey, that guy, I'm sorry, man, we're the reason your sister's dead, is basically what that dude said posthumously.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
But, yeah, he leaves him alone. When he leaves, it's, like, midday, and then when he kills him, which is on the studio lot, it's night. During that time, they've had time to spray down the brownstone set, which is this street that is on the Universal lot. Just looks like sort of a New York or a Chicago could kind of play either of those.
I think, well, when he takes him out onto the brownstone, I keep worrying about that, but I know it's brownstone. But when he takes him out, there's a point where he is sort of, you know, like showing off about like, it's a set, it's all awesome and stuff. And he grabs onto a lamppost. And I'm pretty sure that's meant to be the like, hey, get it? Singing in the Rain?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that kind of, like, you know, nodding to famous Hollywood shit going on.
It's there. So he takes him out to this set, which he said sprayed down with water to get it wet so that he can electrocute him. And then he just proceeds to, like, mentally torture him for no reason. Let's play a little clip of that.
Oh, God.
Hey! Don't you know an act? I'm acting for you.
God, I hate this so much. He's such an asshole.
Yeah.
Here we go, Len. Illusion all the way. Into the mail.
That's the circus music.
Into the valley.
Yeah,
of
I
death.
Mean.
Roll the 600.
The soundtrack in this one is really.
No valley.
It's.
No gallons.
It's very intrusive to the point where there's a scene from the very end. I'm just gonna play a little tiny clip of this, but there's
in the catch, you mean?
Yeah, in the catch.
In the catch, the music's so loud,
it's so loud
you can barely hear Columbo.
Columbo is like wrapping stuff up and giving us information that we don't have, and
yeah.
It sounds like this. I'm gonna move it forward a little bit to the later part because I got a big crunk there.
Yeah,
there were no hospital scenes shooting at the studio. And the other was a bridesmaid. And there were no wedding scenes either. So I have to think that they were your actors, Mr. Brady. Trying to fool me.
It's like,
maybe
I fucking mixed it.
Can't
hear what you're saying. This is literally the most important part of Columbo, and I can't hear what he's saying. It's very frustrating.
That is the absolute sort of worst point with the like music sort of overtaking stuff. Because again, that's not where you make that music loud. You make that music loud when you suddenly have Columbo dressed as a fucking like circus ringleader taking a bow. You know, I guess because Fisher Stevens is hallucinating it during the catch.
That's another part of this thing where it's like, that's another thing where it's like reminding you that you're watching a show. Like during that, that picket fences scene there. So that scene we played earlier where they're talking about, the, what is reality and what is film and all this stuff. They're walking, with a picket fence between them that has a spotlight on it. So it's very stylized, sort of. And they're talking and having this conversation, but they're like switching places. And at one point, Fisher Stevens says, what if I reverse the action and the frame flips horizontally for no reason?
Yep.
It's not like they did a reverse shot, which is usually what you mean like when you say reverse the action in that way. They just flip the thing and then they're like, suddenly one of them is on the other side and walking past the other and the other one is standing there and like looking out. And it's very like experimental art house, but stupid.
Yep. It's really, again, it's that whole like, oh, get it? We're playing with the meta here. But it's like, it's just,
yeah,
it's just exhausting. And like, it works in the context of Fisher Stevens' character is so fucking full of himself and, you know, and grandiose, and he keeps, you know, like he keeps doing this thing in the same way that he was like gaslighting Lenny. It's just like right out of the gate, he's just lying to Columbo and
right.
And it's just like Columbo's whole thing, like in that first scene where they meet, where he's like, well, it would be kind of a weird electrocution if then, you know, the guy.
Oh, I can play. I can play the clip.
Oh, good. Yeah, please.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I love this.
Let's see here. Yeah, this one.
So you think it was murder? Well, I expect it was something like murder. It would have been a very strange electrocution if the victim got up and turned his pockets out and then took himself to the beach and hit himself in the face, if you get my drift, sir. I get your drift, Lieutenant.
Fuck. It's so clearly like,
yeah.
I fucking know it's you already, you piece of shit.
There's a detail in there that sort of gets obscured that they don't really get into, but like he mutilated the guy's face so he couldn't be identified.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah. When Columbo brings that up, like he's like, well, I'll just come out and say it. But it's like, but when he said that, I was like, Jesus, thank you for not showing us
it's
that.
It's so much more, like he says, well, I'll just come out and say it. He doesn't have a face anymore. Somebody knocked his face off. Like, I don't even know what that means. And I don't want to know.
I mean,
very upsetting.
When he said that, I immediately thought about, so when he fries Lenny, basically he chases him into a blind corner up against a metal gate.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, I'm going to kill you, you know, and that kind of thing. And Lenny turns around and grabs it ostensibly to try and get out and then is electrocuted and Fisher just calmly watches him fry, puts on gloves, and then disconnects the gigantic power lead, and then walks over and like takes it off of the thing and drags the guy's corpse away. But when he when he does this, there's a moment where it cuts to a shot of like him either throwing the power thing over or it's in his trunk or whatever, and there's clearly like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then when Columbo makes the reference, that was the point where I was like, oh, fuck, that's what that was for? Jesus Christ.
It's incredibly disturbing.
It's so clear, like, this dude is just ruthless.
He's bad. He's a bad guy. Like, I would say this is a disproportionate response to what is being threatened to you.
Right.
I would just point to the figure of John Landis and say that you can still make it in Hollywood if people die during a stunt. John Landis, I think, is kind of reprehensible for that reason. But I think he is sort of overreacting to exactly how finished his career would be if this were to come forward.
I was going to say, like, this is super just a Hollywood problem because it's not. Yeah, it's not like.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he covered it up is bad. Sure. I mean, the whole thing is bad. The murder is pretty bad when I think about it.
Let's be clear. Both deaths are really reprehensible.
Yeah.
But you're right in that, like, ostensibly in the system that he was a part of, that was the sort of thing that, studios would do a lot to cover up.
Especially in the 80s. You know, it was a lot different back then. There are many more sort of protections for like stunt performers and things like that, and sort of recognition of that. But in those days, it was pretty loosey goosey, and people did die a lot more often on films, and it was not treated as big of a deal as it is now.
Yeah, or as it should have been in the first place.
Right. So.
But I love that, like, right out of the gate, Columbo is like, you're not fucking fooling me. And then, like, you know, as he brings stuff to him, then there's that bit where, like, Fisher Stevens, like, you know, where it's like, he's like, oh, that's quite a coincidence. And Fisher Stevens just goes on this weird monologue about how coincidence is, like, the bedrock of storytelling. And it's like, no, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's the opposite, my dude. Coincidence is like
hallmark of bad storytelling.
Exactly. I mean, maybe that's what they were trying to tell us with his character saying that, but geez, it was this is a complete tangent, but
oh, yes, cuz we've been so focused this episode so far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're just like it's weird. It's not that I didn't enjoy watching it, but it was is a bit of a hate watch, you know.
Yeah.
The thing that I was going to say is I honestly, from the way they kept shoving the, 3D holographic filming in our faces, I thought for sure that was going to be part of the fucking
catch. That 100% should have come back. That's just a loose end. Because they invent this 3D projection technology that creates a hologram of the leading lady actress.
Yeah, it's like that old Sega arcade game.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
time shooter or whatever that thing was
called. Yeah, time something where it was basically just a glorified fucking Dragon's Lair with a shitty little sort of mirrored projection thing. Yeah.
That got incredibly racist as it went on.
I don't know. I never got that far.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was pretty terrible and designed to like steal your money.
Yeah, that's pretty par for the course with arcades.
But I saw a play, like someone had an emulator and they did a playthrough of it, and I was like, wow, I'm really glad I didn't see the rest of this. Because it gets
that
pretty bad,
huh?
But so Ruthie Jernigan?
It's
not a very movie star
name.
So she's the leading lady we find out that Fisher Stevens, I keep calling him that, Alex Brady, he is he has this woman that who's the leading lady of a film that he made, but she left him for this other actor.
She left him for her co-star.
Her co-star.
In the film. And then later we find out, because like there's an early point where obviously there's, you know, some kind of like gopher dude who does skeezy stuff for Fisher that we're introduced to early on, like hanging around saying, hey, I did that thing you wanted me to do. And
Phil Crescetti is his name in the thing.
Yeah. What a good name. And then later we figure out, you know, we are told that that he used Phil as the taxi driver who, quote unquote, broke down, and his taxi broke down giving Ruth a ride home.
Yeah.
And it happened to be outside, I think Brian is the name of her co-star. Yes,
something like that.
Yeah, like
he's
outside
not, he's
of
not
his
actually
house,
in so, the thing, so.
Yeah, and so, you know, and then that's how they hooked up, and it's like that was all orchestrated by Fisher Stevens to get her off his back, and also then he was like, and your love scenes were the best because y'all were actually boning, and it's like, oh, yeah. This is so gross.
And then later he uses that, this is sort of establishing that he's a master manipulator, which this episode really, really tries hard to make it seem like Fisher Stevens is like a cold-hearted mastermind. It tries.
Well, I mean,
I get that
he's cold-hearted and, you know, and a sociopath, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, because he uses...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Later he uses Crescetti to, as a pretend security guard for this scene in the commissary where they sort of plant the idea that his friend was in town
to
get
score
cocaine.
Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let's be clear. This was the best this auteur could fucking come up with was, Lenny took the day off from his job working in a menswear store in Albany, New York.
Right. Like
and
do.
Flew cross country mm-hmm. to score cocaine.
They don't have cocaine in wherever the hell that Albany or whatever.
You can't get coke in like New York City or something. There definitely weren't any people doing cocaine in New York City ever. So he had to fly to Los Angeles for it. That was the best he had. That was it.
Yeah.
Like.
And then,
fuck.
And then, so he plants this idea, hoping that Columbo, I guess, will not try to find this woman and like corroborate the story because it seems like, I mean, she gets away or whatever.
Yeah.
But like,
well, basically, the security guy like blocks him, but like at the end when he's doing the catch, he's like, "Oh yeah, no, I knew about your dumb stunt because there was nothing shooting that required a nurse or what was the other costume?
A bride,
yeah, or a bridesmaid or whatever it was. He was like, I checked the roles and there was no, it's like, yeah, of course he would have gone looking for like, who's shooting with this stuff so that I can go talk to this lady.
Or like, wouldn't he have gotten the security guard who like held him up, wouldn't he have gotten his name and so that he could like report him to his higher ups? And then when that guy doesn't exist as a security guard, wouldn't he be even more suspicious? Like, you haven't really thought this one out.
No, he's just convinced that, I mean, and that's part of what they try to lay up. Like the fact that like when he walks into his actual office and his assistant, Rose is like on the phone or something, basically, you know, can't hear him. And he basically is like, hey Rose, you're fired. And then she's like, huh, what? And then he, you know, says something completely different. Like he's such a smug prick. I didn't mention it, but Rose is like a secretary who's been working for the studio forever. So she's an older woman.
Oh, yeah.
And she has this massive disdain for older people. And they try to frame the whole thing like, yeah, that's just Hollywood. There are all these young hotshots. And if you're old, you're out of it now. And
she has a good line where she says, when I was a young secretary, all the directors were old. Now I'm an old secretary and all the directors are young. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad
one. It was
a
good line. Yeah. No, I mean, she's great. She's another really good performance in it. And especially like the whole bit where she keeps calling Columbo inspector.
Right.
He's like, oh, we don't have inspectors anymore. I'm just a lieutenant. And just, keeps calling him inspector.
Yeah, because she thinks he's like an inspector for the studio. But that's why she keeps calling him that.
Yeah, but like, the whole thing, like they really work hard to establish like, oh, he just... you know, he thinks he's better than people who are older than him. And like, there's the scene where they're shooting on Brownstone.
Yep.
And he's on a crane.
Yeah.
And Columbo comes in and is like, oh, I've got this stuff, you know, and then asks like, hey, can I shadow you after I showed you some of my, you know, like what I do for work? And he's like, oh, it'd well, be he's boring trying
to,
for you.
He's trying to question him. And Fisher Stevens is like, well, all right, just climb on the thing and you can ask me questions while I'm doing my thing.
Basically, he's like, just climb on. Columbo specifically asks him, like, okay, if he could observe, you know, and
sure.
And then what Fisher's Stevens does is proceed to constantly tell the guys to move the crane because he's just trying to make Columbo sick.
Yeah.
And it's
in a
and
scene
it's
that goes on way too long.
So long. And it's just, we get it. You yeah. have a crane. You got to play with a crane, guys. But this
and then,
is
like,
a
after,
lot.
After Fisher Stevens leaves and Columbo sort of says, well, I'll see you later. As the Fisher Stevens pulls away in a car, there's a crane shot. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, I'm in a yeah. weird meta world. Like, they're using the crane that they used to shoot that previous scene. And now they're shooting the... What? Huh?
Yep.
Like, that's the stuff where I was kind of like, all right, there's like a thing in here that's interesting, but it's not, they're not there yet. They're not quite there.
It's real weird. I mean, I made a note, and I should go back and look, but it feels like in these more recent episodes that they have done more, like, Columbo does physical business as he's sorting out the crime and exactly how it happened scenes where he doesn't speak. He's just sort of retracing the person. Cause like we got a lot of that.
We did. We got, when, you know, in some of the previous episodes, Double Shock comes in as one where that is done amazingly. And that's due to like, I think how much more physical and like sort of nimble he is back then. And it's a lot slower now, and it kind of, it just stretches the scene out.
Yes, because, like, basically after the crane stuff, he sort of wanders around and then notices, oh, this huge power line and follows it over and then finds the heel to one of Lenny's shoes, because apparently it came off and melted a bit from all of the massive amounts of electricity going through his body.
Yeah.
Which, again, is one of those just like, ugh. But
there's a very strange, like, I previously said that Columbo seemed more grandfatherly. I think I said that in the last episode.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
In this one, he seems like a child. Like, he seems like, I'm going to play a clip now. This is Columbo has gone to Fisher Stevens's house to bring in the cab driver who drove the victim from the airport to the studio. And this is how he sort of gets out, and it comes out of nowhere and leads to nothing. But I just want to play a little clip out of it.
Sir, I'm expecting two acquaintances. They're coming in a second car. Just let me see if they got the right house. Oh! Brought your candy bar. I know you got a sweet tooth.
What? You just brought him a candy bar?
Yeah, I assume that's meant, like the candy bar thing, I immediately was like, is this supposed to be, like, a reference to the soda fountain, the chocolate? Like,
yeah, because earlier Columbo, like, after he's sort of done one of his standard show up and, you know, pretend like he's just talking about the case, even though he's, like, accusing the guy to his face, he's done his sort of signature Columbo thing. The guy leaves, Fisher Stevens leaves, and Columbo's like, can I hang out here and make myself a chocolate soda?
Yeah, and basically it's like he's telling him, oh, it turns out the John Doe was this guy you knew, and he was your really close friend, and, you know, and all of this. And it's this scene where, like, Fisher Stevens, like, is crying. Like, it's, again,
it's fake. I mean,
total
it's fake
sociopath.
Crying,
but you know what I mean. Like,
it's a very sort of intense scene that
and
gets this weird button on the end of it.
Yeah, and I think that button is meant to be, like, Columbo fucking with him in the, like, I don't buy your bullshit kind of way, but it's just, like, it's so weird, and you know what? I didn't know if I wanted to talk about this, but like,
okay.
So Mac, since the last time that we recorded, you linked me an article basically about how Stephen Moffat was
okay.
Like,
yeah, all right.
I wanted to do a Columbo reboot, you know, where it's all dark and gritty because he's really this huge fucking sadist, and I just wanted to explore that. And it's like,
Moffat and Gaddis, who co-created the new Sherlock,
right?
Were doing an interview saying like if they were going to do any more Sherlock, they've got a new Dracula series coming out, which I'm sure will be great. But they were
Francis
asked, like,
Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, like that.
Yeah. It's going to be sexy and dangerous, and he's got a secret sister that he didn't tell anyone about. Spoiler alert. For a fucking series, it's the worst. Okay, I don't want to get into my hate of Sherlock, but anyway.
I mean, I kind of do now, but
yeah,
go ahead.
But that's not this podcast. They were doing an interview like, will you ever do more Sherlock? And they're like, yeah, we want to. But actually, this other thing that we wanted to do even more was Columbo, because he's the most unrepentant sociopath sadist. And it's like, he isn't, though. Like,
yeah,
he definitely punishes bad people. Like, he fucks with people who are murderers, but he's not like a sadist. He's just trying to like mess with them.
Well, he's trying to catch them. He's trying to throw people off their guard. And he shows mercy for like people when...
Who deserve it.
Deserved.
Absolutely.
And it's just this...
Forgotten Lady, for example.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, Forgotten Lady is definitely that way.
He definitely shows, like, situations where he just goes, like, well, to do justice would not be to, like, arrest this person. Like, that's not just.
Right.
So he very clearly isn't in it just for, like, turning the screws and inflicting the pain. He is looking for justice for the deceased, I think, in a real way.
I honestly think that article spoke volumes about Moffat's vision of Sherlock, you know, and again, and that whole thing of like, you bring more of yourself to the works you make than you realize, my dude.
Yeah.
And that article just made me mad. I was like, yeah, somebody please make sure he never gets to do this because I don't want to see that Columbo.
No.
Somebody does
want that.
No. There are definitely people who want that. Let's be clear. And neither one of us are in that camp. But I have to admit, there are moments in this episode where it really kind of like where I'm like, I could see where he might get that vibe from this episode. Because like the thing with the like, hey, maybe this is an awkward time to ask while you're crying about your dead friend, but is it cool if I make myself a soda?
Right. But it is worth noting that the guy is not really crying.
Exactly.
A, and B, killed the friend, which Columbo knows at this point. You know, he doesn't have the evidence, but he knows at this point.
Oh, no. I mean, he has enough evidence at this point that he knows. It's just about having enough evidence to arrest the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
or
like,
to arrest, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because there's like the scene where they show, you know, he's back out at the beach, kind of going through the motions with his coat to be like, oh, how would this book like fall out of somebody's pocket?
Right.
You know, and which is, again, very much the like, Columbo the Panto show.
Yeah.
But outside of all that weirdness, that initial shot before it pans down to like the tape outline in the sand.
Sure.
Of Columbo, the initial shot of him like in the beach, I really, really love. Like, I think it's this just beautiful framing, and then it goes south as soon as it hits the like tape outline.
That is
borderline a fucking like Zucker Brothers joke.
There's some like legit sort of stunning images. I wouldn't go as far as to say like, you know, the entire shot, because usually something happens that louses it up. But there are some like really sort of well shot. There are a couple moments when they rise up, beautiful frames.
Yeah,
when they rise up on the crane and they're stationary and the world is sort of, you know, falling down beneath them.
Yeah, I love that shot.
It's such a wonderful shot. The fact that they do it like 20 times after that sort of ruins it. But that initial shot, I was like, all right. And then they just kept going up and down. And I was like, oh. Okay.
I mean, yeah, it turns into a literal circus. I mean, the music also is that way. And that, like, and I guess that's sort of the point, you know, by the end. But it's also like, wait, so are you telling me you're, you know, the Columbo episode I just watched is just a clown show? Is that the message that you want me to walk away with? Because that's kind of what it feels like. And that's I don't think that's accurate. I wish you got lost in your sort of metaphors and imagery here.
Yeah. I wish that Columbo suddenly becoming a ringmaster was the weirdest thing that would happen in the 1980s Columbo. I wish that that was true. It is definitely one of the weirder things that will happen, but it is not the weirdest. There's a thing I'm thinking of that I won't. Yeah. But like it's gonna get weird, and not in an interesting way, just in a like, why is this happening? Why would you make this as a decision? But it is worth noting that Peter Falk is an executive producer now. This is his this is his vision of Columbo. Possibly more than the original than Levison and Link, who I don't think were actually involved in this this show.
One of them was. When I watched the credits, at least one of them was specifically involved in this one. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. You know, the catch at the end. I know we didn't. I mean, we played a clip from it, but basically, it's like his DA is. You know, is like in the
his secretary. You get to
no, it's not his secretary. Like there's a scene where he basically is trying to fire his secretary, and she's like, "Well, what about that time that Lenny called you? That page mysteriously went missing from
they're
the
in
call
a
re- list.
They're in a restaurant having dinner. He says like, "Hey, you should look for a new job," to his secretary.
Basically, you're fired. And she's like, hey, what if I'm not fired? Also, what if you pay for me to go on a cruise for a while? Fuck you, you little shit. And then he's like, hey, no, you shouldn't look for another job. I really want you to stay.
Yeah.
And and so there's that scene. But afterwards,
Columbo says, your secretary did this and you tried to bribe her. And that's an admission of guilt, essentially.
Right. And Fish he's like, says, it's her word against mine. And that's when Columbo goes, well, actually, I know your little stunt with all the actors. I saw right through it. And so I pulled one of my own. So the person serving you and, you know, the person at the door and all these other people.
They were all cops.
We're all cops. You busted.
Everybody's a cop. Except for the waitress or the cocktail waitress who is the love interest.
Oh yeah, surprise. It's your ex. Yes. And I got her in on it too, because fuck you, dude.
In the most noticeable wig ever. when I was watching
it's
this with
so weird.
With she you can't really see her face in that scene. But when I was watching it, Jenny, my fiance, I'm saying that out loud for fun. It's fun to say. she was like, why is the cocktail waitress wearing such an obvious wig? And I'm like, I don't know. And then it was her. He didn't recognize his own like former lover and movie star, a person whose face he must have spent like
a lot of time staring at
8 months staring at in editing days and filming and that kind of stuff. But he just doesn't recognize her.
And so, she's wearing a bad wig. Let me frame up kind of how this arc works into the catch. So like there's an earlier scene where basically he gets called in to Marauder's office. I'm just going to call him Marauder because it makes me laugh. I know that's not the guy's name.
to DA Adam Schiff's office.
Yeah, exactly. Where this guy.
He's like, McCoy, you've gone out on a ledge. This too many, one time too many.
Fuck. But yeah, so he calls him in, and this is ostensibly the dude who made his career.
Right.
To ask him, hey, I need you to push. I need you to get this film out by April, not by summer. And he's just like, no, fuck you. I'm not even going to try. You can just tell the board. And he's like, no, listen, I really need you to do this. The board is breathing down my neck. And he's like, no, you can just tell the board I was stubborn. You can just throw it on me. And, you can tell that, you know, Rotor ain't, you know,
you can tell the board to breathe down this neck, and he points down.
Yeah. The reason that I bring that up is because the way that the scenes roll out is he has the lunch with his secretary,
yep,
where she sticks it to him, and then he goes from that, and then Marauder pulls up and he gets in Schiff's car, and Schiff's like, hey, I made some decisions. I gotta go spend some time with like my niece and nephew, but first, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. I cannot believe that you did this to me. So I'm pulling the plug on your big project.
Well, no, he's not pulling the plug. He's putting it into development hell. He's basically saying, I'm going to keep your contract active so you can't go anywhere else, but I'm never going to release your film. Like, you're just going to be working on it for the rest of your life, but no one will ever see it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's basically like, you get like daily expenses. That's it. You're fucking done. Yeah. Like, you're just stuck. Your career's over, basically. And then he's like, and as Fisher tries to, like, he's like, listen, I gotta go see my relatives. Get the fuck out of my
car. It's very similar to the thing that happened to the female executive murderer lady in that one episode, where just for no reason, a thing that happened earlier in the episode comes back and bites him in the ass at the end. I guess just to say, like, no, they don't worry. They don't succeed. And also they're going to prison, as though career would have continued if he hadn't been caught or whatever.
Yeah, the vibe I get with Fisher here is that they really wanted us to feel like he just gets punched in the dick over and over.
They do.
And then Columbo just seals the deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because in that other one, like, I know that if it's the episode I'm thinking of where it's like, then she's suddenly like running the business. Like, I felt for her because she was kind of a kept woman for the bulk of her life with this rich family.
And I know they were framing to get. No, no. Right. Oh, no. I think you're thinking of a different one. But
I might be.
She was. You're sort of confusing that one and the Leslie Nielsen one.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the TV producer one that we just watched with Spock's brother and...
Yes. I was totally different one. Anyway, I know what you mean. I'm with you now. Yeah, I understand.
We have watched at this point 47 episodes of Columbo, so it is fair if you confuse or mix a couple of them at this point.
It's a non-zero amount. But yeah, so with Fisher, I really feel like they wanted to just hammer it home. And so, like, so he goes from that car into a shooting set.
Yeah.
And walks into basically his filming assistant, like, hey, I just set up the new effect. I haven't seen it yet. You know, this guy gave it to me. And he flips the thing on, and it's the fucking video of
the woman being murdered.
I think it's Jenny. Jenny taking the tumble and Fisher's face writ large, you know, on the screen, like holding her, being like, cut. And then Columbo shows up as the other guy just walks out.
It's also been like edited to like loop and then also like hold on his face. So like Columbo spent time in an editing bay going like, could you like loop it back? And then could you just like hold it on the face of him like being terrified for a while?
I just need this, and then he's like, oh, you know, I got this from the guys in Albany, you know, they found it in, like, stuffed in a bag of groceries and hidden, but don't worry, I had it blown up into 35 millimeters so we could look at it here. Don't you want to look at it? Yeah. Don't you want to look at how you let this woman die? And it's just like, man, he just really fucking puts the screws to him.
Yeah, so and then later he, like, uses the same projector to show him, like, the ticket that proved that Lenny went on the tour and then, therefore, was at the studio. And he's
the ticket that was inside Stevens's, like,
this is
playroom.
Another kind of...
It's fucking crazy.
This is kind of another one where he catches him on all levels. This is that same kind of thing where he's got the ticket, he's got this footage, he's got the shoe, he's got the, you know, the wet streets or whatever. He's kind of got everything.
It's very similar to the dogs and Mentalist Institute.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Where it's like, oh, will you check in that pool pocket there? Oh, here's this piece of evidence. Oh, look in this other one. Yeah, it's that real, real mind fuck of an episode. I mean, but it's a real fucking, It's an episode.
It sure is.
I don't know if I have anything else to say.
No, I don't know. Did you have any comment on the costumes? I mean, it's pretty standard 80s fare for the most part.
Like, there's not a lot that super sticks out. I mean, if anything, I noted that the Columbo's car is less dented than it was the last time I saw it.
Yeah, it's clearly a different car.
It's in better shape for sure. The only thing that I took any real note of was Lenny's outfit, which ostensibly makes sense because he works at a menswear shop, but he's wearing like a salt and pepper herringbone blazer that has like swelled seams, and they're very like broad lapels. Like, it's still kind of on that like rollover from a more 70s style, but it hasn't gone like full blown like late 90s Armani like
gigantic.
I think the idea
is like he's kind of a schlubby character, so he's kind of dressed a little dated.
I mean that's the thing, is it's like he's well dressed all things considered, but it's not like, oh, I'm wearing a suit kind of vibes. But yeah, I mean, that was really it. Other than that, like, I took note of like Fisher Stevens, especially in the scenes that all run up to the murdering, is wearing like a denim or chambray kind of like work shirt. And it's a very like 80s cut where it's super blousy, and like the shoulder seams are overhanging, you know, it's just too big for it.
Yeah, he wears He wears two separate cable knit sweaters at different points in the episode. Decidedly just 80s.
Yeah, there's nothing super remarkable about what he wears. The reason that I brought up the like work shirt was in one of those like, what he's actually wearing is something that like would not be out of place in 2019. It's just the cut and fit of it is what dates it.
Yeah.
And that's always, you know, I mean, that's an interesting point to me. But yeah, there wasn't a lot of that. It was so much more focused on the weird ass, like, it's a movie and we're going to go all meta and then also shit.
Yes, I would say shit is exactly what they did. I don't really have that much else to say about it. I think that'll do it.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything to add to that.
We made it through. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing.
Yeah?
Exit. Pursued by a bear.
Pursued by a bear. Shakespeare wrote that.
It's true.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.